We want to be able to come to that secret place of the Lord, you know, in our worship. It says in Hebrews that we can come right through by the blood of Jesus and the body of Christ, right through the veil. You know how the old temple had the veil that prevented anyone even from looking into the most holy place, right through the veil, which is his flesh, the Bible says, into the most holy place. And we can come into just that kind of a spot with God. It says in other places, for example, that we can come right to his throne of grace, right to his throne. What an awesome idea. Find help in time of need. And verses like that, which are just astonishing. Well, this morning what I'm going to talk about is something that, you know, is by and large in the last century not preached very often and is kind of neglected in the church generally. And that is about what Christ paid for on the cross to purify our heart. And, you know, when you look at 1 John, you can pop that up there right now, Lee, if you like. There's a scripture that says, what do we got here? Oh, 1 John. Is that the whole thing? Wait a minute. Let's go to Ephesians 1, 3, and 4 first. Put that up. Yeah, okay. Let's read it together. I like how Barry does that. You think we can do it? Maybe he's better at it than me. I don't know. Here we go. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. Did you catch that last bit? He chose us in him. So this happens in Christ. Even before the creation of the world was his plan to be holy and blameless in his sight. There's lots of scriptures like this that we kind of go over. And we all know that Christ paid for our sin at the cross. And so that's how you become a Christian. You're saying, Lord, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. And sometimes we've had an incredible conviction of our sin. We find our neediness. We can feel our heart, our distance from God, all the things. And then when a person comes to Christ, like Romans 10:10 and other places, we know by faith, we believe that Christ died for my sins. We believe what he did for me. And then we say, Lord, I need this, and I receive this by faith. Lord, cleanse me of my sin, forgive me, accept me. And so, that's how we become a Christian. We become born again of the Spirit. Spirit of God comes in, we become born again. And that experience of forgiveness is called, many places in the Bible, justification. Justification simply means, my record with God has been made right. He looks at me and he sees what Christ did. He does not see what I did. He says, you're in Christ, my son. He paid for all your sin, just like the Old Testament sacrifices. They would offer up in sacrifice an animal of some kind, you know, a bull or sheep or whatever, a sin offering. And the blood was covering sin. But the blood of the Son of God, Jesus, can cover the whole world's sin, right? He was perfect and blameless. But did you know, there's another half to this, is Jesus paid for the sin problem, and that old carnal man, the old Adam nature in you that we discover after we become a Christian is still working away down in our heart, also can be cleansed by faith. There is a reality to this that the church, modern church, hasn't received. The older church, revivals received it. It's the essence behind a whole pile of revivals. Where even believers begin to cry out to God, God, my heart is not right. Purify my heart. Purify my heart. Cleanse me, and I'll be clean. So let's put up 1 John, what is it, 3, I think it is, the one I wanted. Wait a minute. Let me look here. Oh, wait a minute, wrong thing here. Yeah, 1 John, I want this. 1, let's say verse 7 to 9. Did I put that in there? Oh, can you pop it up there? Give Lee a second here. Yeah. Okay, let's read it out. Oh, not that one. 1 John 1. Oop, you had it there a second ago. All right, I'll just read it here. This is the message we've heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we are lying and aren't practicing the truth. And remember, the word says he wants truth in the inward being, right? But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with each other. Now listen to this. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's not talking forgiveness, it's talking cleansing. That's interesting. Or another translation may talk about unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now listen to this, verse 9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See that? Forgiveness and cleansing, or purifying, it says in that translation, New International. He's faithful and just. Cleanses, forgives. So, you know, so many believers struggle with what's going on inside. In fact, every believer will, until by faith they begin receiving also this cleansing of the Lord. And the Lord has said so many times in the New Testament and in the Old, we can have a pure heart. Paul the Apostle said to the Ephesians and other churches that he was working to present them as a pure bride to Christ. Pure heart, pure bride. And you say, well, okay, what do you mean, purify me? Isn't it just like the kid, you know, there's one illustration, there's the kid, you know, maybe I could see my grandson Kai doing this, and he's got on his nice church clothes and will say, okay, Kai, stay out of the puddles, right? And, of course, what's he going to do? You see a puddle and he wants to jump through it. And he's hopping through the, and then he comes, hi, Nana, pick me up, and he's covered with mud, right? Well, he didn't do what we told him to do, and so if he's sorry, we'd say, well, we forgive you. That's forgiveness, right? But now he needs some cleansing, right? Now we need some cleansing. You see, that's the problem. That's from what we might have done. But we're also carrying all the mud from Adam. We're carrying that stuff around us. You know, as a new believer, I found an experience in Christ. It was amazing. A whole lot of stuff had just dropped out of my life. My desire to go out and have drunken parties with my friends just stopped. You know, what happened? It was purified out of my heart. Jesus did it. It was just gone. Whole lot of stuff disappeared. But you know what? I found out there's a whole lot of stuff in there still. One of the struggles that I had over the years was when I got here in Campbell River, I began to experience stuff coming up in me as a minister I didn't ever experience before. Ambition, selfishness, envy, jealousy of other churches and ministries, all kinds of stuff going on inside of me. Where is this coming from, God? And you know what? See, I wasn't sinning because I wasn't doing anything with it. I mean, sometimes I get mad. I guess that would be into sin. But what happens is it's defilement. It's impurity. It's the mud. It's Adam's mud still in my life. Because I'm, you know, first in the old dead man, son of Adam, now a son of Christ. And this is what he says he would cleanse me of. And I'm crying out to God for a long time. I'm just saying, God, help me to be better. Anybody saying that? God, help me to do the right thing. God, help me not to feel this way. God, help me. And what I'm saying to God when I do that is, I'm going to do it in my own power, and I want you to help me. Isn't that right? I'm going to now live this life, and I realize there's something going on inside of me that's not right, and I know it's not compatible with Jesus. I'm not like Christ in some of the stuff that's going on in my heart. Lord, help me to overcome it. And we don't tell anybody because, hey, that's not what a Christian's like. Hello? We're like this. This is where the rubber hits the road. You know, in Galatians, Paul was addressing this in chapter 3. He says in verse 2, let me ask you this. Did you receive the Spirit or the Holy Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now trying to be perfected by the flesh? Perfected. Are you trying to live this life of holiness and perfection in the power of your own flesh, even though you started out with the Spirit of God working in you to become a Christian? Even though you started out by faith, receiving Christ and what he did at the cross, the blood of Jesus cleanses, forgives my sin. Are you now trying to keep yourself clean or trying to deal with that problem that you're struggling with down inside, whatever that issue is, by your own strength and just asking God to help? A whole lot of believers, you know, are going, I love Jesus. I love worshiping him. It's so wonderful when I feel his presence, like this morning at church and everything else. But I'm so desperate for something to change inside, I can't stand it anymore. Something's got to change in me, and I don't know what to do. And I'll tell you what, years ago, I'd seen, when we were at the Four Square Church, so many believers coming through like this. I didn't know what I'm telling you right now. I didn't get it yet. We believed in the, we had the power of God doing awesome stuff. But so many believers came in and were with us for years, people we became friends with, struggling with stuff in the heart. And we're counseling and them, helping to set their mind in the right places, praying for them, asking the Holy Spirit to help. And we didn't also include, by faith, go for the cleansing of your heart. It's the promise in the Word of God, because he'll cleanse your heart. And I'm sad to say that some of them are gone now. Some even committed suicide. And I just say, oh God. He will cleanse our heart. I experienced it, and the cleansing, like that ambitious stuff and all that. He did something so incredible. I pursued this. I wanted this. I remember going to renewal meetings in the late 90s. I was crying out to God, God, I'm tired of feeling the power of God touching my body and shaking and even falling under your power and laughing or whatever, and wrestling with this thing inside. I don't want the other stuff. I want this changed. And eventually he did it. I'm telling you, it's a miracle. I look in there now and say, what happened? He changed. It's like the love of God working in there. And what happened was, I just say, oh man, up from inside of me comes, I just want the other churches and pastors to succeed. I want to bless them. Come on. God, work there. It's just something so transformed, and it was his work. I tried to make myself better for too many years and it didn't work. I tried to ask him, you know, I asked him to make me better and it didn't work. So what is this thing? What is going on inside of us? Well, let me explain with a little illustration I got here. Maybe Mark, can you come up and hold the mic for me? I should have put on the headset, I think. Okay. Let me get up a little closer so everybody can see this thing. Okay, so what I've got here, of course, is a magnet, and you can all see that, okay? And the two halves stick together, of course. And you know how a magnet works. One end is a north pole, one end's a south pole, and opposites attract, right? So that's why that sticks together. And that, you don't need to know any more than that about it just to say that's how it works. This is like God created Adam for himself. He created Adam in his image. But, you know, the opposite pulls the train. He created Adam for himself. And so Adam had this relationship to God. It was like that. Right up, tight, close, fellowship together. When Adam and Eve brought sin into the earth, the thing was that they would say, the temptation was, you know good and evil for yourself. You're going to be like God. So look at the polls here. This one's got north at the top, let's say, south at the bottom. Adam would have south at the top, north at the bottom. That's how it goes. That's why it sticks. Do you understand? So he says, you're going to be like God. He returned it around. Going to be like God. You can know right and wrong, good and evil. Your heart can be the arbiter of truth. Now what happens with the magnet? You know how magnets work? It'll push away. It won't go together. Right? Isn't that the way it works? That's the condition we're all born into. Okay? And now in the most simple terms, when Christ came, when we trust in Christ and are born again, a transformation starts in our heart and spirit where we are born from above. That's another word, the way to say born again. Our spirit is a new spirit, and we're restored, starting from the inside out. And so that can be restored. Here's the problem. In this reverse relationship, all of us, for the whole human race, put something else where God was. So, yeah, I'm going to help myself and enjoy myself. There's the spoon, okay? And, I can build it. That was me. I'm self-invented. I can build it myself. So I'm going to put on the nuts and bolts here. You hurt me. I'm going to lock you out of my life. There's a lock. Right? I don't know if I can get it on all in there. Right? Oop. I'll try to get it all in here. Like that. And, you know, on and on. We got lots of junk. We all have got this junk on us. Some of it is accumulated by what we did in our own life. Some of it's just with us because we're all of Adam. Okay? And the Bible says in, let me see if I got the passage here. Oh, yeah, let's put up Jeremiah 17, that one, Lee. Let's read this together here for a second. You can hang on here. The heart is deceitful. Let's read it together. Ready? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You know what deceitful means? Deceitful means it looks one way, but it's actually another. Right? But the Bible also says that we are to have a perfect heart. Asa, Jehoshaphat, other kings, the comment about them was that their heart was perfect towards the Lord. They got down underneath the deceitfulness and figured, you know, and just kept on bringing everything to the Lord somehow, you know? So this is what's talking about. Out of the heart, you know, Jesus talked about the heart. And he said, out of the heart comes all sorts of filth and jealousies and selfish ambitions and sins and everything. It's breeding up out of the heart. It's out of the heart. The heart is you. The heart is the deepest you. The heart is what's underneath the thinking. You can be thinking and troubled by your thoughts, but underneath that, there is your heart going, why are these thoughts troubling me? You know what I'm saying? That's what the heart is. Underneath your feelings, there's something deeper that's going, what's going on in me? Why do I feel this way? I don't like this. And out of the heart is bubbling all this stuff. That's the deepest place. That's your spirit and heart. And this is what he's talking about. That's what needs the cleansing. And then, of course, we need to set our mind in the right place and not keep returning to those other things. So, here, Mark, I'll get you to hold that again. So what happens when a man comes to Christ and he's returning to the Lord? This stuff's in the way, right? So yeah, you're forgiven. The thing is kind of, if I can do this here, it's rotated around, right? It's rotated back around. But we're coming, and this is all in between. But as we come to the Lord and he begins to cleanse, something amazing happens. This thing that's in our heart starts to lose its attraction. As soon as these two poles touch, what will happen is the magnetism will stop flowing through the pieces. And they'll just begin to fall away. Whoop. Hang on, I gotta get this. This thing's really weird. Get it off in between. Anyway. Ah. Okay. Oh, I got it on back. I hit it backwards. There we go. There. See that? That's what happens. Having our heart, thank you, Mark, having our heart cleansed is such an important thing inside of us. So what does that old man like inside? What does that old thing do in us? Well, you know, it's kind of like, you ever seen a chicken with its head cut off? Not lately. Well, if you're up in farm country, like I, you know, we did out in the country, we'd see this from time to time. It's really bizarre because you'd think that a chicken would just stop when you whack its head off, and it doesn't, right? So I would go back to the farmer that was, the farm that was behind my parent, where I grew up, my family home. They had bought a piece off the front of the farm, right? And I'd go back to the farm where Owen was, that was his name. And sometimes, you know, when I'm just a kid, right? And we go back there, and the cows would be milked by hand and everything. And sometimes Ada, his wife, would say, "Owen, I need a chicken for supper." And he'd go and grab a chicken, and we'd all watch with fascination. And he had this stump or wooden block, and he had two nails sticking up. And he'd take the chicken and put its head between the nails and stretch his neck and boom. And then, you know, with the axe and throw the chicken out there, and off she goes. And this thing's running all over the farmyard, and it's chasing us kids down, we think. It's running all over the place, spurting blood out, crashing into things, staggering around, and if it comes towards us, we're screaming and yelling and running away and all of this until it after 30 seconds or something, it just kind of runs out of life and keels over and is gone, right? That's what this old carnal, Adamic nature is inside of us. It's the headless chicken. Do you ever notice how it doesn't make sense? This thing will come up and your brain's going, where did that come from? Why am I feeling this? It doesn't have any sense at all. This thing is the headless dead chicken in my life, you know, doing stuff that I don't like. Where did that come from? Could be, you know, and it's all kinds of garbage, jealousies, ambitions, selfishness, resentment, fears, memories from the past come popping up in your mind. They affect how you do things. Insecurity. Man, did I have insecurity when I started doing video at city council meetings. I started about 10 years ago doing that for them with my business. And, you know, you think, here, I'm a confident preacher, can talk to people. Oh, yeah, in church, it's easy. I'm getting out with all the city leaders and stuff, and what on earth was down inside of me that I couldn't relax? I couldn't just chat with, self-conscious or what? And, I'm asking God, Lord, take this away. Purify my heart. What is going on down inside of me? There's fears. I found he started to show me my heart. He showed me insecurities. He showed me need to perform and be accepted. He showed me things in the past that had formed this idea. All the stuff you can imagine was in there. And what I'm saying is, Lord, this is what Paul talked about. The old dead man that died with Christ. This was paid for by Jesus on the cross. that I might be cleansed. And I would say, Lord, by faith, I give it up. I give it to you. My acceptance is based in you. You put me here. You opened the doors for me to be here. Take away my fear. It died with Christ. I lay it on the altar. It's a living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It means you understand it. Reasonable. Lord, here, take it away. Take it away. You paid for it. And you know what? He did. And there's so many things. I can really honestly tell you, I pressed through until I got to the bottom on all these things. He takes it away. He takes it away. Paul, the apostle in the book of Romans, talks extensively about this wrestling with this body of death, he calls it. In Romans 7, he talks about, I know there's no good thing dwelling in me, that is in my flesh. He's not saying my born again nature. There's something going on in me, Paul is saying. That old thing is going on in me. Good thing I want to do, I find I don't do. And I find that bad thing that's right there close at hand, that's the thing I'm wanting to do. Oh, God, help me. And, you know, by the end of Romans 7, he's in a quandary. He said, what do I do? Help! You know, it's almost like you don't have an answer. But right there, he says, start of Romans 8, it's done in Jesus. It's paid for in Jesus. It's paid for in Jesus. What are you wrestling with? What is it that you put up with? See, the problem we have as Christians in the church, without knowing, we can continue on into holiness. Our heart can be purified by the blood of Jesus. The problem we have is, first of all, we shy away from this idea of being holy, which is a crazy idea because the New Testament says, be ye holy as God in heaven's holy. And yet we run away from it, thinking, you can't do that. Doesn't mean that you have no weakness, no misunderstandings, no basic, mistakes or fault. It just says you can be cleansed and be holy. Jesus paid for sin to be taken away. Not just forgiven, cleansing to happen. And what's interesting is Paul says in Romans 7, who will free me, this is Romans 7:24, I didn't put it on the thing, from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's that dead chicken. Why do I say it's the headless chicken? It's this, because when he used the phrase, who will free me from the body of death phrase is what they did to a condemned criminal. A condemned criminal would have a corpse tied on his back. Can you imagine that? They would tie a dead body on his back and he'd have to walk around with this thing tied on him. That's what Paul's saying. This thing is like the dead body tied on my life. Who will set me free? Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. And what I'm sharing today is a call for you to say, go after the cleansing. It's yours to have by faith, the same way you became a Christian. Only this involves having the Holy Spirit shine his light in your heart, and there's kind of a process where you're seeing and laying down by faith those old things. That selfishness. God, it just keeps coming up in me. What is the root of that thing? And then you say, oh, man, something was taken away from me in the playground when I was a kid. God just starts revealing it. Well, Lord, whatever started up there, I give it over to you by faith right now. You paid it all. You paid it all. Cleanse me in Jesus' name. And you keep going like that. And I'm telling you, you will experience freedom that way. Let me see here. So in 1 John 1:9, it says a couple of steps there. Of course, it says if we confess our sin, he will forgive our sin. Well, that's one step. Of course, we're confessing our sin. If we confess our sin, he forgives our sin. If we did something wrong, if we followed it through, most of us in this carnality restrain ourselves, the self-control. But we say, Lord, here it is. Don't compromise anymore. Too many Christians just compromise all the time. I had a, there's several like this when we were pastors in Bermuda, but there's one lady that was in the church there. And I remember early on when I got there, she was saying to me, Pastor, would you pray for me for healing? And she had this crippling arthritis. I mean, she sometimes would have to get help getting out of bed in the morning. She was really crippled up. And as soon as I went to pray for her, the Holy Spirit said, first, ask her about her relationships to her family. Okay, so I said, I'd be glad to pray for you. First, tell me, how's your relationships to your family? All of a sudden, her whole countenance changes. Something else. You know, she's just got like an animal coming up inside of her. Whoa, boy. What is that? Woo, took me right back. Well, what I found out was some property thing in the family went bad with her and her son years ago. And often what would happen is, you know, somebody like her might have several homes because maybe her husband had died, and I think that was the case here, and then she remarried, and then he had died years later, and now she's got the two family homes that were left to her. And so all this stuff goes on, you know. And, here's a believer loving Jesus, and she's growling, and boy, you know, it wasn't demonic, it was just her. It was like, ooh, okay, so every time I prayed for her to be healed, nothing happened. And I think, God, what do we do here? Well, it turns out the second year or so, her and two other ladies really took something I'd preached to heart about, using what God gives you, using your resources, and serving the Lord. And they prayed together regularly, and they felt like God was saying, put on some prayer suppers. Now, prayer supper was simply that they would, the three of them would put together a nice meal at somebody's house, and they prayed over who to invite from the church, and they maybe have 10 people together, and we'd be there, Karen and I. And at the supper time, we would share the Lord, and or afterwards ask how they're doing, you know, walk with Jesus. Well, we found out all kinds of things. Like one of the leaders, elders in the church, who found out never received Christ as Savior. They'd always been, everybody thought they had, but they hadn't. Lots of things like this. And then we started seeing the presence of God coming in these things. Well, after about three or four of these, we're at this lady's house. Her name was Queenie. And we're at Queenie's house, and I remember, I can picture it right in my mind, because what God did was so powerful. We're sitting here at the table, stretched out this way, real long, maybe 10 or 12 people. And we just finished supper, and her and the other two are about to bring dessert in through the kitchen door, which was about behind me. They start to bring in the dessert and just are going to set it out on the table, and I felt the Holy Spirit drop. Ooh. Just like this. He just came, just like a warm blanket over everybody. And I said to her, take the dessert back. God's doing something. And they did. And I turned to, there was a couple of women who come from a different church who had quite a great Holy Spirit ministry. And I said, do you know what God's doing? No. I'm looking around. All of a sudden, this other lady down at the end of the table, she bursts into tears and starts sobbing. And they go over and start praying with her. And the Spirit of God's just coming. Well, by then, this time, we're starting to pray for some people. And I go to several of them. And this lady, Queenie, that I go to her, and I said to her, do you forgive your son now? And she goes, yes, yes. You know, go, oh, boy, that was it. Finally, she was willing to let God do it. Instead of asking God to fix the problems on the outside so she'd feel better inside, she asked God, clean me inside. You see, that's the difference. Yes, and then she does. And, you know, so she's going, yes. And I said, I laid hands on her. What's it? Then in the name of Jesus, be healed. Like that. Power of God comes on her. Bam. She falls on the floor. She's gone for like 20 minutes or half an hour. She's out of it. And this happened to several people. And she gets up and she's totally healed. Totally healed. And the whole rest of the time we're there in Bermuda with her, she's totally free. I wish that was the end of the story for her, but it wasn't, because I found out years later she took terrible bitterness back into her heart about somebody else, and the whole thing returned on her. But this was the kind of process that would go on. As they let God work on the inside instead of trying to get God to change the outside things so I feel better inside, it's time for the church to say, God, this isn't right on the inside. Come and clean me. Because Jesus paid for it. We got to know Jesus paid for this. He paid that I won't be bitter. He paid that I could love my enemies. He prayed that anger and self-righteousness and control and fear, all of that would be cleansed and I would have the same spirit and heart as Jesus Christ. He paid it. He paid it. Let me give an example here. Matthew 5. This is interesting. Actually, we'll go to, I think it was Luke is the other one. It's the parallel. Yeah, I'll just read you from Luke because it's the parallel story in Luke, but he adds something else here. And what Jesus is saying here, love your enemies, do good to those that hate you, bless those that curse you, pray for those that abuse you, to one that strikes you on the cheek, offer the other cheek, and from the one who takes away your coat, give him your tunic as well. Give to everyone that begs from you, and from those that take away your goods, don't demand them back. As you would have others do to you, do to them. Where do you get that from? I'll tell you what, that isn't in anybody naturally, is it? That is the old nature being purified away and our heart being filled with the love of God. Later on, he says this in verse 35, love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. Now listen to this bit. This is, if you want to look at it later, Luke 6, 35, and it says, expect nothing in return, your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, who is kind to the ungrateful and evil. Or wicked. This is what it looks like when our heart is getting purified. It's awesome. It's Him. It's His work. The Corinthian church, as you know, was a church full of problems, full of immorality, you know, carnality. Paul was addressing it. They even had one man who was how can I put this? Living immorally with his father's wife and all kinds of stuff going on, and they had a bad attitude about it. And one of the things he says in the passage when he's talking about this in 1 Corinthians 6 was, don't you know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. The sexually immoral, the idolaters, adulterers, men who practice homosexuality, thieves, greedy, drunkards, revilers, swindlers, listen to all the list he's got, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen to this. And some such were you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. And you were justified. Oh. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of God. What does that mean? Well, justified, we know. Justified means they became Christian, they have right standing with God, their sins are forgiven. But what is this? They were washed. He washed them clean. What is it? They're sanctified. They're set apart and made holy. They experienced being cleansed and holy. That's what he's saying to the Corinthians. They receive this. And it's just amazing. It's just amazing. Here is Ephesians 5, talks about husbands loving your wives, but listen to this bit that's in there. As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, why did he do that? That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blameless. That's what Jesus did for us. That's for us. That's for you and me. That's for you and me. In 1 Peter chapter 1:22, he talks about them having purified their souls. He says earlier, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. In Hebrews, and I won't go into it, there's a whole lot in there that talks about how the blood of Jesus forgives sin. The body of Christ was offered to cleanse us and sanctify us. Those passages are in, chapter 9, it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Chapter 10, it says, we've been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once and for all, the body and blood. And I could go on. There's lots and lots of scriptures about this. But just want to say this. What is it about? Step one, as I said already, we're saying, Lord, this is what I'm like. I need your cleansing. Step two, he'll forgive our sin. There's now no condemnation. We know that. Step three, he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. What's unrighteousness? What's righteousness? That's easy. It's not a bunch of legalism. Righteousness is whatever God calls right. Easy definition. Unrighteousness is whatever God says isn't right. If you look in your heart and you see something going on that's unrighteous, you know this isn't like Jesus. You know God wouldn't like it. You say, that's unrighteousness. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9, there's the promise. He'll cleanse me, cleanse me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I had a picture in mind of like this way. When you become a Christian, you're giving Jesus Christ the title deed to your house, right? It's you, right? So we're saying, Lord, I give you my life. Here's the title deed. I belong to you. And by faith, when you ask and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead. In other words, he's alive now, you're asking. He accepts you, justifies you, forgives you, you become his. He now owns you. He has the title deed. If you're a believer in Christ, he has the title deed to your house. You, right? Now here's the thing. Then he comes and, Terry, I'm knocking on your door. I want to come into the house. It says that in the book of Revelations. Here's the church, and he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, why is he saying to a church and the believers, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. What? I thought I received Jesus already. No. He has the title deed. Now he's knocking at the door of your house. Can I come in? So like what's happening this morning when we're getting into our worship deep, 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 there's a whole lot of Holy Spirit knocking going on this morning. Praise the Lord. Anybody feel him knocking? Put your hand up. Let's see. Yeah, he's knocking. We're not only enjoying it. For some of us, he's knocking on a door. What's coming up into your mind is stuff. There's stuff coming up, and he's saying, can I come in the house? I want to come in the house. I want to come in your heart and do something. And instead, we're saying, oh, Jesus, change all this outside stuff so I can feel better inside. No, I want to come in the house. Forget what the neighbors are doing. Neighbors don't matter. Okay, come on in. And he starts to go around with you. These intimate moments with Jesus, man, I'm telling you, sometimes he'll bring stuff up to your mind you never thought of for a long time. Right? Remember that teacher way back when you were in grade 6? The one that would punish the kids by sticking their head in the desk and put the lid down on it? Remember how you hated her? Ugh. Can you stop, change that, you know. So he's coming in the house, and he comes along to something inside your life, and he says, right, Terry, what's in this drawer? We're in the kitchen, right? That drawer, Lord? Well, it's my junk drawer. Everybody's got a junk drawer at your house? You know, the junk drawer is where you throw all this stuff in. Now, open it, Terry. Oh, really? You want us? Yeah. No, no. You know, Jesus is real, man. He's about getting at the real stuff in the real you. He's not this superficial. If you've got a superficial Jesus that just goes moseying along and all he does is answer your prayers and make things nice all the time, you haven't got him. The real Jesus goes down deep inside your heart and life and puts his love and life in there and wants to clean out the junk drawer. And he says, open that thing up. Okay, Lord. Shh. And you take it, and he might just dump it out and shake it. And you look at all that pile of stuff. Do you really need all that? No, I guess not, Lord. How long has that thing been in there? Gee. Well, that's just the old dog collar. Dog's been dead 15 years. And still got fleas on it, I bet. You know? And starts cleaning this stuff out. But you got to say, okay, Lord. Yes, Lord, clean this out. Take this away. You paid for it. Take it away. Take it away. Take it away. He'll come along. He'll do that. He'll do that as long as you let him do it. As long as you invite him to do it. As long as you, by faith, say, come in and do it. And I tell you what, for me, I stayed at this and stayed at this for months, maybe over years. God, I want to the bottom. I want to the bottom. I'm sick and tired of what comes up in me. I want underneath. What is that under the surface little bit of anger I feel? I want to the bottom of that thing, God. I don't know where it comes from or why it's lurking in there. Get, you know, I recognize what the scripture says that he would cleanse it. And you know what? He does. He did. He did. He did. He did. And I just go and go and go. Some people can experience this in such an intense time very quickly. Sometimes a few hours, a few days. And sometimes it's just protracted and drawn out as God was kind of leading me through whatever this meant. I didn't even understand it. I'm studying it up and all that. And I just testify, he cleanses those things out. Do you have to change the way you think? Of course you do. Because you're going to slave yourself with the way you think and what you set your mind on and what your habits are and what you do. But I'll tell you what, that starts bubbling up inside is like that percolating river of living water. The joy comes up. We had some bad news there a few weeks ago that normally would have upset me so badly, sent me into a depression. And when I got this thing, you know, and I read it and I just started laughing. Joy of the Lord started coming up in me. I just started laughing. Okay, God, I guess you got to deal with this. You know? Still like that. I'm going, I can't believe this is what happened to me. It's so different. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And he will and does cleanse and change hearts. And that's what the Lord is calling the church to be. Be ye holy as I am holy. Well, we can't do that ourselves. It's his holiness. That's how I am holy. His holiness comes and starts to work in us. And he wouldn't say it if it wasn't possible to have it. He wouldn't repeat it again and again and again in the Bible if it wasn't possible to have it. So what I want to do now, we're just going to have communion here. As you come and are receiving communion this morning, take faith steps today. Because it's by faith. Same way you got saved, there's a conviction about this thing that is real. Conviction, first of all, is going to be, Lord, I need this. I'm going to confess. I confess to you, Lord, I need this cleansing in my heart. I can see stuff there I want you to cleanse. It's been with me as long as I can remember, or it's, you know, whatever. It's I need you to clean me, Lord. Secondly, you're saying, I believed you paid for this. Maybe I'll just give you another scripture. Listen to this. This is Hebrews 9:13. If the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a red heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh. He's talking about what they did in the Old Testament temple. How much more will the blood of Jesus through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? What does that mean about conscience? Conscience is that self-awareness, really what it means. Self-knowledge, self-awareness. You're looking to say, I know this is in me. Later on, he says, we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ. That's Hebrews 10, 10. Sanctified is cleansed and set apart for God. Verse 14, by a single offering, he's perfected for all times those being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit bears witness to this by saying, he's quoting from the Old Testament, here's the covenant I will make after those days, declared the Lord. I'll put my laws in their heart and write them on their minds, and I'll remember their sins no more. This is what we want. Later on, he talks about how we can come through the curtain. I mentioned that before. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. It's all in there. It's just lots of it. Lots of it there. So you're saying, Lord, I believe Jesus paid for my sin on the cross. His blood, you know, paid for me to be forgiven of sin. His body pays for me to be cleansed. I want it. And then, third thing you do is somewhat like when you get saved, you say, Lord, take this, I give it over to you. And in this case, we're saying, here's this thing I'm wrestling with, I know is in there, take it. I give it to you by faith. Take it away, cleanse it. You give it over by faith. For me personally, I've gone down through layers like peeling an onion, crying half the time too. Finding sometimes there's something underneath the first layer, and the second layer. Things I didn't see or know about. Right down until there came a place where I'd said, I can't find any more. Lord, show me. King David said to the Lord, try my heart and see if there's any wicked way in me. Try my heart. Test my heart. Show me, Lord. Is there what's going on in my heart? Show me. I want to know. I want my heart to be pure. Show me what's going on in my heart. David also prayed, purify my heart. See, he knew about this stuff. It's ours to have. So when we come to communion, come up with faith and take the wine or grape juice and the bread and consciously say, Lord, I am by faith receiving the body, the blood of Christ, not only for forgiveness of my sin, but cleanse my heart, Lord. I take it by faith. You paid for it. I don't want the old dead man ruling my heart anymore. I want the love of God perfected in there. John the Apostle said that in 1 John. We could have his love perfected in our heart. So let's do that together, and let's just pray for a moment as we come. Maybe, Mark and Jerry, do you want to serve with us the communion? And Bob, and I want two of you come up too. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I was going to make a prediction. This is just, this isn't a prophecy from the Lord or something, but it's a prediction based on truth. Is that transformation is going to take place and begin to start now in a bunch of people. Some of you are saying, I want this, I'm going to have this. Go convince yourself from the scriptures if you need to, but go for it. And I promise you, and I'm going to say, it's going to happen. You're going to receive and experience cleansing from things that have bothered you for years and years and years. You don't know where they come from. They bubble up inside. You don't like it. Could be torment and temptation. Could be resentment, bitter, fears, bad memory. It could be just the stuff, the accumulation of junk like all of this. Could be lots of stuff in there. You've never gone into sin on it. You didn't do anything, but you've been suppressing it, resisting it, self-control. Could be stuff that erupts out of you at home. Like, you know, when we're at home with our family, that's when the headless chicken starts running around, right? Starts terrifying the children and all that. It could, you know, be wherever, whatever at work. Could have led you into depression and fear and knee-jerk reactions. And there was a point for me where certain things, I'd almost be having panic attacks because of what I could feel inside. And that, and I'm just going after God, you're going to cleanse this because you paid for it. I'm going to have this. And I did. Received it. And so my prediction is many of you are going to get in and receive starting today. And I pray that that picture of what Jesus has done for us would enlarge in front of you. Didn't just pay to be forgiven. He paid to solve the sin problem. That's the good news. The problem that the human race is plagued with, he paid for. That's the good news. That we might live lives holy and blamelessly before him all of our days. So, Father, I pray that right now, Lord, as we come and receive the body and blood of Christ by faith, that you, Holy Spirit, and what Jesus has done be so real to us. And we thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's come and receive right now.